Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL
Sports. Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon. KSL News Time, 1:38 p.m. It's the final Saturday in college basketball. Tomorrow, one of the best days on the sports calendar. Selection Sunday, 4 p.m., BYU will learn who and where they will play in the NCAA tournament. There's no mystery. BYU's going to be in the dance. But it's just a matter of what seed, who they will play, and what city they will play in. But it's exciting times for BYU.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting. And it's so exciting. In fact, I just didn't get that invested in the Big 12 tournament because I'm just ready to get to the real thing where BYU's had such little success in recent years. But that's what it's all about. I feel like there's also maybe a little more hunger for the NCAA tournament this year from a BYU perspective, considering I felt this exact same way about the Yoli Childs team, and then it got taken away. Yeah. And it was so interesting talking to Jake Toulson a few weeks ago about that and just how that's still something that team thinks about, because that team was in a good position to do something just like this team is. And I'm trying hard not to let that Texas Tech loss put a wet towel on the excitement, because this team is still capable of making 14 threes.
Sure.
And beating someone in the round of 32 and going to the Sweet 16. Like, it's entirely in their realm of possibility. So it's a lot of fun. I can't wait for this tournament.
It is going to be a lot of fun to see BYU in the NCAA tournament. It's crazy when you think about it, Matt. BYU has not played in the regular Thursday opening day of the NCAA tournament since 2014. Think about it. Their last NCAA tournament appearance was in 2021. That was the COVID year. And that was a late Saturday night in Indianapolis. It wasn't your traditional NCAA tournament format. They played in 2015. That was the first four. So they played on the Tuesday, and then they got bounced.
14 by Ole Miss. Was it Oregon?
Oregon. And I want to dive into our top five NCAA tournament BYU memories. And I got to say, Matt, they're few and far between.
Yes.
Because let's call it what it is. BYU basketball deals with more heartbreak in this thing than probably celebration.
But no doubt.
This year, hopefully it's different for the Cougars, and they can have some celebration. Let's go over this. What's some of our top five BYU basketball NCAA tournament memories? And you can share some of your personal ones as well.
Some of my favorite ones have actually been losses. Like, that Sweet 16 game against Florida is one of my favorite ones. Even though BYU came up short, to have Jimmer Fredette struggle a little bit in that game and then just turn it on at the end of the game. And it was unfortunate they couldn't win that game, but I was on the edge of my seat. And to have them in the Sweet 16, I vividly remember racing down to the Gateway that year to buy some Nike Jimmer shirt. I don't know if you had that one.
With the flag?
With the American flag in the upper left corner. That was a fun year. That one's up there. Maybe sticking with that year, probably the better memory from that year is just the beatdown of Gonzaga that year and having Vern Lundquist. Oh, Jimmer! You know, Vern, and was Bill Rafferty on that one?
BYU goes, Manaman!
The onions!
The Gonzaga win has to be number one, I think, in our lifetime, right?
For sure.
Because
we weren't there for Ainge.
Right. And with Gonzaga, too, it was cool because BYU wins that game 89-67. They advanced to the Sweet 16. It was the first time in 30 years they got to the Sweet 16. But what was cool was, despite being the 3 seed and Gonzaga the 11, everyone nationally was picking the Zags. Like, well, Davies is out. You know, they beat Wofford, sure, great. You're not beating the Zags, though. This is where the Zags were starting to show signs that they're turning the corner into a powerhouse. Still kind of that Cinderella team, They're like, we trust this Cinderella a lot more.
They had
than-
Robert Sacre. And who else were the big names on that team? I just remember Robert Sacre.
Yeah, because Sacre became a Laker. Yeah. I'd have to go look at that roster again. Was Pangos on that team? Kevin Pangos?
I think so. I'm pulling it up right now.
Anyway, BYU crushed them. And not only to win, but just annihilate Gonzaga. It felt like in that moment, hey, Zags, you're putting on notice. BYU step into the WCC. Take note.
That group had David Stockton, Kelly Olynyk.
That's right.
Stephen Gray was the other guy. Stephen Gray with Robert Sacre.
It was Gonzaga. I mean, it was a good Gonzaga team, not to the level of Jalen Suggs Zags and Drew Timmy Zags, but it was a dang good team, and BYU crushed them 89-67. Another good one under Jimmer was BYU versus Florida.
And, the year before.
Yes, 2010.
Great game.
And let me just add this. Am I crazy? Is it not annoying how the NCAA tournament always seems to find a way to draw BYU in some rematch setup? BYU is the only team that gets rematches all the time. Oh,
A&M, year after year after year.
08, 09, let's go to the 8th seed where BYU will face 9th seed A&M. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Why? and then like when you draw Florida in the Sweet 16, it's like, oh, you know, of course, you got to put BYU in the same bracket as Florida because they gave BYU a tough game in 2010. But that 2010 game was awesome because it was BYU's first win in the NCAA tournament since 1993.
Wow.
And you had to get to double overtime. Mike Lloyd goes off. Jimmer waves at the camera while he's laying on the ground. It became an iconic NCAA tournament moment that season. Florida had Chandler Parsons. That was just a great win. And, I mean, it took everything in BYU's power to win it, but to get your first. And that was the first NCAA win for Dave Rose. It was a special one.
And to have the signature Jimmer Fredette plays at the end of that game, deep threes, getting to the rim, circus layups, that was a fantastic one. You know, I don't remember anything about the Oregon one other than I was in Las Vegas for that one, which Las Vegas, going to a sports book to watch the tournament – even if you don't gamble, is something I would put on any sports fan's bucket list.
It's cool.
The waves of cheers for every possession because money's on the line is fun to watch. And I remember being at a sports book, wasn't gambling, just hanging out and having fun. I can't remember I was down there. And there was very little to cheer for in that Oregon game. That was not a top five memory.
And Oregon, again, a rematch. BYU played them earlier in the year, and it's like, let's go to the 7th seed and 10th seed, BYU. And it was shocking that BYU was a 10th seed. Remember, that was the year where they thought they might sneak in. Lenardi had them as the last team in going into the day. And I'm thinking, they're probably going to go to the NIT. And then they get in and comfortably. They were in the round of 64. But then, oh, we'll reward you with the round of 64, but you're going to face the team you lost to in Eugene. I'm just like, I don't get it, man. Like, I know that BYU does the no Sunday thing, and they're tricky to place in the bracket. But how many times you got to put BYU in this rematch spot against all these programs? It's insane. Another memory, like, again, we didn't live it, but I've seen the highlights. I've watched the game enough. BYU-Notre Dame, and they win in Atlanta in the Omni. Danny Ainge, that's one of the all-time great moments in March Madness history. I mean, it still gets brought up in commercials.
Yep.
Danny Ange, coast-to-coast, on Digger Phelps and Notre Dame, taking down the Irish. I think that plays a role in it, that they took down Notre Dame, who had a pretty good team with some NBA guys, and then they advanced the Elite Eight. What's crazy, too, about that Elite Eight run in the Elite Eight, the previous round, it's often forgotten, they beat UCLA by 23 points, but the brands they face UCLA, Notre Dame, they played number one Virginia with Ralph Sampson. That was quite the run for BYU. The last NCAA tournament appearance for BYU, you and I were working together at this time. I was in Indianapolis, and I remember BYU draws UCLA. And I remember on Selection Sunday, Mark Pope, you could just tell on his face, was like, it's awesome we're getting a 6th seed, but man, we get these blue blood teams, Michigan State or UCLA. And
I wanted UCLA so bad.
Me too. I thought, UCLA is this 18-win team. They're not that good. Who's this Jaime Jaquez cat? He's nothing. And now he's rookie of the year, basically, in the NBA. But they just crushed BYU. Johnny Juzang, Jaime Jaquez. I'm just thinking, man, what is it with this NCAA
Campbell,
tournament?
Tiger.
Oh, yeah, Tiger Campbell. And what was frustrating, too, I'm at Hinkle Fieldhouse. I'm talking to Spencer Linton. He's like, did you see the score of the Texas game? Because remember, they were in the same quadrant as Texas and Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian beat Texas. BYU would have been in the Sweet 16 had they got past UCLA. Ugh. There's one time where a bracket kind of broke BYU's way because remember, UCLA, they went on to play in the Final Four.
Well, it broke their way in 2011 as well. If they beat Florida, you're probably walking into the Final Four.
Remember we asked Dave Rose, we're like, do you ever play the what-if game on Florida
yes.
or Davies? He said, I did that once and then I wanted to... I can't remember what he said. Yeah. He's just like, I don't want to do that again. Because it really...
they would have went to the Final Four.
They Elite Eight, had they got past Florida, it would have been Butler, 8-seed Butler. And I think they
went to the championship game that year.
They did. And then in the Final Four, the national semifinals, it was 11-seed VCU.
Yes.
BYU would have played Kemba Walker and UConn. Jimmer versus Kemba?
Oh.
That would have been ratings gold. It would not have been Magic Bird, but it would have been like that next tier down.
Yes.
And Jimmer versus Kemba would have been all-time stuff, man. Because those were the two players everyone in college basketball was talking about. Like, that is just, BYU should have been in the Final Four that year. They should have been in the Final Four.
Yeah, they should have. Maybe last memory to bring up is the 25-point comeback, which I don't know if I feel great about, considering it was the first four and it's Iona. So, like, even though it was a historic comeback and Brock Zylstra's playing good ball, I don't know. That one doesn't, like, some of the losses were more fun to watch than struggling against Iona.
And what was frustrating, too, about that game, remember Scotty Machado for Iona?
Boy.
He's just going off. I'm thinking, this is the player of the year. Iona looks incredible. Barack Obama, President Obama was in the stands. It was... And you're thinking, oh, here we go again. BYU, just in this NCAA tournament, just laying an egg.
Are we
going to
be saying that again next week? Here we go again?
I don't think so. You know, BYU, here's a crazy stat on BYU. They have not beat a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament since 1991.
Wow.
So.
33 years.
They're going to be a single-digit seed. I would expect, unless the brackets just did us wrong.
Could you imagine if you were a double-digit seed?
Brian Gumbel
play
goes,
in 11 seed.
Let's go to the Charlotte quadrant. 7 seed Duke, 10 seed BYU. What? No, that's not going to happen. BYU's going to be about a 5, at worst a 6. But
if they're a 6 seed, I want to riot in the streets. If you want to join me, hit me up at Biamonte Matt on Twitter, because that would be outrageous.
They're going to be a 5. I feel pretty good about that. It's just a question of Pittsburgh or Salt Lake. Kind of feels like is where it's trending. But they haven't beat a single-digit seed since 91. So if they're going to get to the Sweet 16, you got to think they're going to have to take down a 4. They haven't done that in 30-something years, man. So just get one. Just get one game in that NCAA tournament next week, and I think BYU can do that.
Next week, we'll either be mourning another early exit or maybe preparing for a round of 32 game. Think about that.
Could be pretty fun. It was pretty cool out at the Big 12 tournament telling some Iowa State folks. They were floored how I already knew what cities are available to BYU. They're like, whoa, you already know? Like, what days and where? I'm like, guys, BYU can't play on a Friday, Sunday. So I already know. And I know what regions it's going to be, west or east. Like, that's kind of cool. I said, no, it's really not. Because BYU would have better odds of being a 4 seed if they had the full bracket available to them. I mean, that's one of the knocks on BYU. They probably have a resume worthy of a 4.
Yeah.
But they can't. There's only a few spots that they can realistically get. That's why Salt Lake and the Delta Center is such an option for them, because it's one of the only spots that really makes sense. 5 seed, Salt Lake, okay.
Yep.
Because really, half that bracket's not available to them. And they just don't have they're one of the trickiest teams to place into the bracket. And then you add now the component of you're in a league where it's going to have 8 to 10 teams maybe in the Big 12 or in the NCAA tournament. And the committee wants to avoid having round of 32 conference rematches.
Yep.
So then it becomes even trickier to place them. And that's what also helps BYU avoid the sixth line, because you have kind of a gluttony of three seeds from the Big 12. Maybe Iowa State, unless they win today.
Baylor.
Baylor, Kansas, maybe. Kansas should be a four.
Yeah.
But you have this kind of stranglehold of Big 12 teams from 2 to 4. So it helps you avoid the six. Again, this is like inside baseball stuff.
Yes.
But it kind of paints the picture of how difficult it is with the no Sunday available to you. It helps BYU because you might end up in Salt Lake, but it also is a weird puzzle on where to put BYU in that bracket.
You ready to hear this tomorrow?
Yes.
It brings a tear to my eye. Yes.
When this song was debuted in 2011, it was the selection Sunday of Jimmer's year.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa, this kind of changed. The song is different now. I was kind of ticked. But then I'm like, after years now of hearing this version, I'm like, I love this song now.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like that Christian Bell meme where you got the headphones in and you're walking into the office like you just got this thing blaring. No yes. one around you knows it. We're just rocking this on loop for like 3 hours straight, man. Ugh. I love this song. Give me a little Luther Vandross, One Shining Moment.
Oh, I just fade it down. You can always just bring it right.
Is the NCAA tournament the greatest TV product?
One of.
Think about.
I mean, it's in the final three for sure.
The whole nation rallies around this.
Super Bowl is in there.
Yeah. That's number one. But NCAA tournament, I think the whole country rallies
I think NCAA tournament is one, Super Bowl two, Masters three.
That's a big one. But I think people love the first 2 days the most, though, because it's during work.
Yes.
And it's like it's an excuse to ignore work and just talk around the cooler in the office.
Yes.
And get your pools going.
Yes.
And hey, by the way, we got Bracket Mayhem on KSLSports.com. If you want to prove that you're smarter than me, get into the Bracket Mayhem on KSLSports.com and prove that you're really smarter than I am. Look, I will just warn you, I am terrible at bracket pools because I think I overthink it. I overthink the thoughts.
You don't just go down and just start whipping names out.
I'm like, well, I watch Iowa State, and like, I really like this Tame and Lipsy, and I'm going to throw them in the Elite Eight. I always fail miserably in the bracket pools. Are you good at bracket pools?
I've won a couple bracket pools in my day. I'm all right.
The
less thought I give it, the better I do.
That's true. My
I try to go as super fast as I can, except for maybe a couple that I stumble on, and then I come back to them, and I'm just like, boom, 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 boom.
My son beat me last year, and he was 9. So now he's 10. You know, so, yeah, that was a real ego check at the door. I'm like, yeah, someone who's watching all this college basketball, I don't know that much. I don't know more than the third grader.
Selection Sunday tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Just had to get that in one more time.
4 o'clock, actually. 4.
Oh, you're right. It starts at 4 p.m. You're right. 4 to 5.
Yes.
Is the window of time.
It's always funny, too, when my wife asked me, what time is that selection show? I said, babe, it's the same every year. It's 4 o'clock. It's like when people ask, what time is the Super Bowl?
You know what's interesting?
It's like 4:26 every year.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, about this is I feel like it's actually one of the few shows that is too short. Like,
yes.
I would like it to be 2 hours long. Quickly.
Oh, whoa. 2 hours long? Drag out the bracket announcement
yes,
that
because,
long?
Yes, because the analysis, I think it's so ridiculous. It's, all right, Clark, let's look at that BYU Grand Canyon. Go, the Lopes, they just won the WAC tournament. Okay, back. Now the 6-11 matchup. Let's go out to chat.
I want it just revealed instantly.
Then I want another hour of actual breakdowns. I feel like I'm missing that. So I don't want the reveal spread out for 2 hours.
Okay. I was like, whoa,
I want
Matt.
That quick, and then I want an hour of actual breaking it down. Because I'm like, we bring out 9 people for the show, and like hardly anyone gets to say anything.
And I want to hear Chuck That's yes. one of the great things about yes. the tournament now is you get Charles Barkley, you get Kenny the Jet. Is Shaq part of it? I don't think Shaq's a part
yeah.
of it. But Chuck is always good.
Could I say, too, this might be a hot take, but Gumbel's got to go. I'm ready for Ernie Johnson to reveal the bracket.
I think he is. I think actually he might be out this year, though. I think he's sick.
So it is Ernie Johnson.
It might be, actually.
Inject that into my veins, baby.
Gumbel's an institution.
Gumbel, I'm over Gumbel.
I like Gumbel.
He doesn't do anything but this.
It's awesome.
No, it's not awesome. Let's go out now to Chattanooga where the...
Who doesn't love Brian Gumbel saying, let's go out to the West Regional presented by Coke Zero and the number one seed, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Also a staple of Selection Sunday is when the feed cuts to the team and it's too delayed. Oh, and Grand Canyon gets in and they're just sitting there looking at the TV. I love it. I cannot wait.
Gosh, and it matters this year to BYU.
Yeah, I know. That's the best part is there's – and look, Utah State, there's tremendous local angles from this state, and I love that.
We didn't get to Cougar Tales. That's okay. If you need any more BYU coverage, go to kslsports.com. Subscribe to the podcast, Cougar Sports Saturday. We've got you covered for Selection Sunday tomorrow. KSL Sports app, kslsports.com. We'll talk to you Monday night. Cougar Nation, taking your phone calls at 6:00.